and welcome to this week's episode of Ukraine Calling. I'm Tanya Bednarczyk for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv, and we're bringing you our feature interview followed by some new music from Ukraine. In this episode, Bohdan Nahailo talks to Oleksandr Savchenko, Ukrainian economic expert, former deputy finance minister and currently rector at the Business Management Institute.
Well, I'm delighted to have as this week's guest on Ukraine Calling, Oleksandr Savchenko, a leading economist, economic expert here in Ukraine. Let me just tell listeners that he was formerly a deputy director of the National Bank of Ukraine, a deputy minister of finances, the executive director at the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development here, and is currently the rector at the International Business Institute. But what impresses me most as a former student of the LSE, the London School of Economics and Political Sciences, that you also taught there for a while, or you were there for a while.
Yeah, I used to be a visiting scholar and visiting professor, even Harvard University as well, but
okay.
A long time ago.
I think our listeners have grasped that you are an eminent economic expert. But what I like about your approach in recent times is that you are making your own individual effort through your own broadcasts on the net, through the social media, to bring home key issues, to advise on strategy, solutions, and to provoke thinking about the serious economic challenges that Ukraine faces. So let's start by asking you, how did you get into this public role as opposed to simply doing things, in cabinets, in offices?
A good question. A couple of years ago, I came to the conclusion that my advice to the government, to president, to parliament, sometimes, if not always, useless. And I changed my mind, and I came to the conclusion that I have to speak more to public, to ordinary Ukrainian expert, and start my own program just a couple of months ago, start even my site. And my topic concentrate around Ukrainian economy, macroeconomics issue, and globalization. The role of Ukraine in globalization, and because why it's very important? Because a couple of years ago, Ukraine suddenly appeared in between two civilizations. Moscow Orthodox and Western civilization, and 27 years ago we became the part of Western civilization, but not all part of Ukraine, Crimea and Donetsk still belong, in my view, to Moscow Orthodox civilization. That's why the war of civilization and Ukraine in between.
Well, that's interesting hearing from an economist. So you're suggesting that 100 years later, Samuel Huntington's Clash of Civilizations is taking place in a part of the world where time was suspended for artificial political reasons.
Yeah, correct. He's a very, very good scientist and thinker. And I incorporate, by the way, his theory in my books, anti-Ukrainian. It's very strange.
Yes, you have a new book. Yeah. Well, okay, briefly tell us. Well, it's called Anti-Ukrainians, yes?
Yeah,
Anti-Ukrainian. And what does that mean?
It means I ask the question why Ukraine is always not successful. Always, for whole our history, for thousands of years. And the reason of that is very interest, because Ukraine combine the political and political system of the West and religion system of the East, and we combine this. And I came to the conclusion after analysis that we have to change not our political system. We should belong to the West, but we have to modernize our religion.
Our mindset.
Yeah, and just very important, what I put just two ideas, Ukrainization and Ukrainian Orthodox Church and Westernization.
Where are the positive changes happening?
Okay, positive, some positive things I can say. For example, economic growth started. Last year used to be 2.5%. This year, we expect around 3%. It's very good. Real income also growing, is growing. Not
dramatically.
Dramatically, slowly, but 5-6%. It's also good news.
But how does that compare with inflation?
No, it's a real income.
Growth.
Real nominal income, it's around 20-25%. But you know, inflation last year was 14%, also huge. Then another decentralization started. By the way, very interesting fact that last year a local budget spent 50% of total budget.
Yes, it's this is a new time, development.
Yeah, first time in
our history. But do we think that the local officials and civil society there, are they equipped to manage these budgets?
Not yet. This is the huge problem. They keep money, they put to the bank deposit, then they can't spend. This is education. Education. And our government don't understand why it's very important. On one hand, we have enormous amount of university. My point, 50% should be closed immediately because it's useless. Do you know that in Germany, 27% of people from secondary school go to university? In Ukraine, 90%. Right now it's 80, but it's a huge, it's 3 times more than even in the United States. That's why we still keep enormous amount of so-called university. Better to close, to start professional education. But on the other hand, that's education for businessmen, for official is very, very low, and it should be changed.
I'm surprised you say that because I get the impression that despite the huge brain drain, that there are people coming back who are involved in teaching, raising standards, provoking different ways of thinking. I mean, you're doing something along those lines yourself. You've stayed.
Yeah, I'm staying, and I appreciate that there are not a lot of, but... couple, let's say, group of people which are coming. Unfortunately, sometimes they left Ukraine, but nevertheless, there are some positive. Decentralization, I told you, it's also a good point. Some stabilization of currency, also a good point.
But is that dependent on bailouts by donors, by the IMF, the EU, and others?
No. You know that it's a bad thing. We stopped real cooperation with IMF last year. More than for 1 year, we did not receive any US dollars from IMF. It means other institutions also block our support of Ukrainian government. On one hand, this is bad, but on the other, also, I came to the conclusion it's useless to support Ukrainian government. My theory, much better.
I heard you say today in your latest broadcast is don't give the money directly to the government, give it via the private sector.
Yes. First of all, small and medium-sized business, a little bit later to large enterprises. It's a credit line under European standard.
And you invoked, you referred to the Marshall Plan, the way it was done.
Marshall Plan, even not Marshall Plan. I just remember my time in European Bank for Reconstruction and
Development.
My first project was Borispol, airport Borispol. If you remember, it was terrible under Soviet regime.
Yep.
We invest, we organized, and I participate in first large credit to the to Ukraine, $10 million. It was the largest for credit. But my last project, it's a SME credit line for €300 million. €300 million.
SME, please translate for the
small and medium-sized business.
Right.
It was 96. It was right now. Our spending, I total credit line for SME, small and medium-sized business, much less than $50 million. It's 20 years later. Can you imagine? This is our support of small business. And that's why much better to supply money to real business, to real economy. My approach, it's much better to than to the state.
But we still have in this country, and I think this is also largely to blame, several types of economies. We have the officially declared economy, which is being reformed, which is supposedly in step with what the West wants. We have the shadow economy remaining, which allows people to get by. And we have the oligarchic setup, which is pulling the strings still. So we have at least three layers, a kind of matryoshka economy. Correct. I guess this is what is not really being addressed.
This is also one of the key problem. Number of oligarchs per capita, the largest in the world in Ukraine.
Larger than in Russia?
Yes, per capita, because we have a lot of shadow billionaires. It's not only five official big billionaires. They're involved in TV, newspaper, and so on.
And in politics directly.
Yes, but we have a lot of shadow billionaires, some of them civil servants. It's a very corrupt, unfortunately, service. I calculate that approximately right now it's not a very big figure, outflow of capital from Ukraine to the hand of civil servants, around 5-6 billion. But 10 years ago, it was, 15 years ago, around $20 billion.
US dollars.
And total outside of Ukraine, I calculate the economy.
You removed from the economy, yes. We hid from the economy,
around,
yeah.
$200 billion. Some of them come back, but still, in my according to my calculation, approximately $50 billion in cash outside of Ukraine in hands of oligarchs, so-called. But what is also good news, approximately $100 billion in hands of ordinary Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good, but this is the bad because it's outside of banking system.
Right.
And I ask why. Why so much money outside of banking system? We ask IMF $1 billion, please. We need $1 billion. And population keep outside of banking system $100 billion. And within banking system just $10 billion. Do you know why? Because very stupid decision of National Bank. They ban credit in US dollars.
Hmm. And when was this decision taken?
It's after crisis. After crisis and the huge devaluation of Ukrainian currency. And instead of introduce hedging of currency risk, they just ban. And banks don't pay appropriate interest. But on the other hand, keeping $100 billion outside of banking system, our government go to international market and borrow.
Yeah.
And do you know interest? 7.4%. 7.4. We are champion of the world. We pay enormous amount money. We borrow $3 billion for 15 years.
So we're going to be indebted for generations.
Are you asking why we are so poor?
Okay.
Because enormous amount of not rational decision. The success of such country like Ukraine definitely come when Hungary's decision will be rational.
I'd like to remind our listeners that I'm talking to Alexander Savchenko, a leading Ukrainian economist, on the most salient economic challenges of the day. And when we plan for the future, when there is policy formulation, not just ad hoc decisions to get us by on a day-to-day basis, particularly those that who want to make money, who are controlling the making of money. Look, two quick questions, because we have really run out of time. We cannot avoid mentioning the big issue of the day, Nord Stream 2. President Poroshenko this week has been in Germany. He got at least an acknowledgement from German Chancellor Merkel that they are aware of Ukraine's concerns and that they have raised these concerns directly with Putin, and that that Germany will insist that the flow of natural gas will continue to some extent through Ukraine. For the longer term, worst case scenario that this conduit through Ukraine is cut. How damaging will that be? And another scenario that it continues, but on a reduced basis.
This is really very important question. We are talking about 3% of our GDP. 3%. It's approximately $3 billion, and our GDP this year will be around $100 billion. That's why it's very important. I am very glad Merkel mentioned this problem, but nothing else. We have to be much more tough in this issue. My recommendation to the government, just sell 50%, 50 plus one or 25 plus one, at any price to very strong partner. Better American, the second place German. And I see how Russian will dispute with American owner of this transition. It's a huge system, transition, gas transition system with storages and facilities, the best in Europe. I calculate, by the way, the value of this system, even being with EBRD. Prime Minister Marchuk asked me to calculate because Russian pressure him to sell for $1 billion and then 1.5. I calculate through different instruments, approximately $30 billion. No, they
then,
generate.
Then.
Yeah, the minimum.
So is the value higher now?
Yeah, it's still the same value. If Ukrainians are owner, if appropriate American or German investor come, the value will increase because you know the potential of this system generate $6 billion. $6 billion, it can be very profitable, maybe the best, the most profitable enterprise in Europe. And this is the best scenario. The worst scenario, just cut. Cut is possible not in 2 in 3 years, because I don't believe that for 2 years Russian with German built this pipeline. And I hope Americans stop, because just imagine if Ukraine lost $3 billion. We can't keep our armed forces in appropriate stage. It can be chaos in Ukraine. And in my view, we have to stop all our program where Ukraine stop refugee from the east, from Syria, from other countries to Europe. Sorry, Europe still paying Turkish billions of dollars. And zero to Ukraine. Okay, then we also give up our obligation.
We need to
we
use
have
some
to
leverage.
Be very tough because this is the very dangerous situation.
Okay, Alexander, so what is often overlooked as well is there's not only this threat of a pipeline going via the Baltics from Russia to Germany that circumvents Ukraine, but there is another one being built with Turkish help. So in a sense, it's
sanction.
It's,
we hope American can stop it, believe me, if they introduced normal sanction, that's it stopped.
Well, briefly about the latest sanctions, which seem to have caused a stock
not
market
enough.
Crash in Moscow. I mean, look at the aluminium sector. Okay,
it's
that may
mean
not enough,
first
but
time.
My question is going to be, as these sanctions actually bite, hit harder, will they adversely affect Ukraine too? How much of the, what could there be a boomerang effect because of the interconnectedness?
No, any boomerang, any sanction against Russia useful for Ukraine from political point of view and economical point of view as well. Deripaska is own aluminium plant in Ukraine and doing nothing. And we can nationalize, better repay, just pay him normal price, Deripaska, and start this production in Ukraine. That's a lot of things we can do in Ukraine in order to slow down Russian economy. But this is the first sanction which matter. This is first time because all previous sanction, it just a message. Okay,
A warning.
This is real, but not enough. In my book Anti-Ukrainian, I recommend American government and European government to introduce new sanction, because emerging economy is a very adaptive. That's in Russian as well, and Russia has a brilliant team of economists. Putin keep the old, very bright economist in Ministry of Economy, National Bank, and they are doing everything perfect, I have to say. And that's why new sanction should break up a Russian economy, and it will be useful for the West and for Ukraine.
Okay, we have come to the end. I always ask my guest for last-minute thoughts, last-minute proposal, message. You're given the mic for a minute. What is the message to listeners? The listeners can be the younger generation listening. It can be to businessmen out there. What would you want to say?
Very difficult to say something interesting in 1 minute. Just I say that if Ukraine will be supported in appropriate way, by American, European Union, it will be paradise in couple of years in this land. What does it mean, the appropriate way? I would like to repeat. To support private business, to support civil society, to support scientists, culture, education, because a lack of private institution, civil institution, and it create a vacuum. Ukrainian, just individual, are very interesting nation. Maybe they're very modern, but if we are talking about organization, non-profit organization, is a very, very weak. This is the problem. Under such condition, oligarch dominate, still there is no very straightforward route to prosperity and progress.
So in a nutshell, for the longer term, are you hopeful or are you pessimistic?
I'm realist. Jews... looking for better life and better land 40 years. We are in our way for 27 years. If we are brighter nation, we can reach our destination, I mean, develop world sooner.
The land of milk and honey.
Yes, but because I am a realist, I believe around in 25, 30 years, everything will be okay.
Okay. I'm envious of those who will live to see those times. I thank you very much for the stimulating discussion. I've been talking to Alexander Savchenko, an eminent economist who has worn many hats, but I've been very impressed by the fact that Professor Dr. Mr. Savchenko is not just an economist, but he's a strategist, he's a political philosopher. And I think this is what has been lacking in this country. People of vision and not simply managers. Thank you very much for being
here. Thank you.
This week, we have an instrumental piece for you. It's called Mutual Love and was just released by a group from Lviv called Rock Oko, which is a bit of a play on words in Ukrainian. It could be interpreted as rock eye. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Next week, we'll be back with more commentary on events in Ukraine, a new feature interview, and some more music. So tune in again for another edition of Ukraine Calling. We would be happy to receive any feedback from you. Write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. This is Tanya Benarczyk in Kyiv. Thanks so much for listening.